your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show that puts country music front and center. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Nashville producer Kim Copeland is my special guest on the show today. She produces albums, demos, and she's a gifted songwriter and song troubleshooter as well. If you've ever wondered how the magic happens in a recording studio, stay tuned. It's my great pleasure to welcome on the line, usually based in Nashville, now traveling a bit, it's Kim Copeland. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Dave. How are you this evening?
I am doing wonderful. How are things with you?
Wonderful. Can't complain. Good to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk with you as well. We've known each other for a while online, and we had a chance to talk when I had Drake Jensen on a little while back, and both of you were on the line, which was great because we were able to hear get some insight and hear the exchange between a producer and an artist.
Yeah, enjoyed that very much.
That was a great time, and Drake is doing so well. He's just one of the artists that you've been working with recently. There's Rachel Williams, also Annalise Wally, and we're going to be sharing a song from each of those artists on the show today and talking a bit about their careers and about the songs and the production of them as well. Let's, before we get into sort of where we're at today, Kim, let's go back in time and how your music career started. I know it's been with you. You've been doing it for a while, rather, and you started off doing the dance, Texas dance hall circuits, performing as an artist yourself.
I did. I think I've always been more into the production end of things than the writing, but I didn't really understand what that involved. And I grew up writing songs and playing the guitar and singing from a very young age. Probably started writing songs when I was about 10 or 11. And was a voice major in college and studied theory and voice and really enjoyed that and sang opera there because that's what was available to me, and I learned classical music. But at the same time, I was writing and performing country and folk songs and pop and Christian. And so I've kind of run the gamut of genres, just doing what I enjoy and whatever's moves me at the moment. But when I got out of college and moved back to Texas and played the Texas Honky Tonk Circuit, same one that, you know, George Strait and Kelly Schapa and a bunch of those guys are in the Urban Cowboy era played, and decided that I had done what I wanted to do performance-wise and moved to Nashville to write and kind of fell into production, which I've been doing now for about 15, I've been in Nashville over 20 years. I guess I've been producing for about 15, 16 of those years, and I just love it. I think it brings all of my gifts together, and I not only enjoy it, but I think I finally found something I'm kind of good at. So nothing to complain about.
That sounds wonderful. And it is good that you love all those styles and appreciate them and also can produce them, because I'm sure there are some producers who are better in one genre than another, but it's great to sort of be able to do a bit of everything, isn't it?
It is. You know, I grew up listening. I mean, my parents listened to everything from blues to rock to, you know, stone cold country to pop music. I grew up with a great collection of music to listen to. I learned to sing harmony with, you know, the Eagles and also the Ink Spots and the Platters, and so a wide variety of music, and I just love it all. You know, of course, I was I'm dating myself here, but I was a kid of the 70s, and, you know, a lot of rock music in there, and I still love rock music quite a bit. So and Nashville's way more than country, so I'm pretty blessed too that we get I have opportunities to work in a lot of those genres.
And I also love the story about, I guess you're around the age of 12, and you took some babysitting money and $65 and got yourself your first guitar.
I did, from JCPenney's.
Oh.
let me tell you, it's not one that I have today or that I would want to even try and play today.
That's terrific. Now, so the songwriting thing, you're a song coach as well for different organizations, Taxi and the NSAI, so you actually help people make their songs better. Your approach to songwriting, your beginnings in it, when did you first start writing, and how did you see your songs improve along the way?
Well, I don't know. My mother says I was singing before I was talking, you know, and I would just sing my answers to questions and what I wanted for dinner. And so I think I was making up stories and songs from a very early age. And I didn't know that you weren't, you know, I didn't know that that wasn't normal for everybody. But I think I started kind of giving them structure and form probably when I was 10, 11, especially when I was about 12 when I got the guitar. I really started learning to play guitar to have a reason to sing, to have something to sing with. And that, you know, there's a good joke on Music Row that there's a lot of therapy there. You know, psychiatrists, psychologists don't do well on Music Row because we use songwriting as our therapy. And for me growing up, that really was my therapy. I wrote everything. I put everything in song form. And so I've been writing for a long time. And at first, I think all writers at first write straight from the heart. They don't know a lot about structure. They're not trying to reach an audience. They're just trying to soothe their soul and express what's in their heart. And then I think we start studying it, and the pendulum swings dramatically the other way. And sometimes we get too structured and too technical, and the heart and soul get lost. And I think the goal is for it to kind of swing back to the middle, where you still have the heartfelt feelings and the emotions, but you're expressing them in such a way that a mass audience can understand and react to them. And that's what I enjoy about working with songwriters, is trying to help them kind of get that pendulum back to the middle, where they're reaching a large audience with their songs and people are caring about them and understanding them. I do a lot of workshops and a lot of song coaching, as you said, and even in my production, you know, I'm still a songwriter at heart, so I don't ever take a song or an artist into the studio that we haven't torn the song apart top to bottom and just made sure that it's as strong as it can be. And I like to teach every recording experience, to make every recording experience a teaching lesson, so that whoever I work with goes home with a few more tools in their songwriting toolbox than they had before they came in to work with me.
Yep. Are there certain common errors that songwriters, beginning songwriters, do that? Are there? Did you hear the question? Yeah, Kim, I was just asking if there were certain common errors that songwriters do when they're starting out, things that you point out to them that they can improve on.
Well, yeah, I think, structure, meter is a huge thing. I'm not a song knocky about having the same number of syllable count in each line. I can accept some fluctuation there as long as the emotion comes through. But I think sometimes, you know, the syllable count is way drastically different. The rhyme scheme is erratic. And that makes it hard for the listener to kind of zone into and make the song stick in their mind. So I think probably syllable count and rhyme scheme are the two basic things. And then other than that, structure. You know, melodic structure, your chorus has to pop. And sometimes, especially if the writer's not a vocalist themselves, you know, not a singer, they have a hard time making that chorus really stand out from the rest of the song.
And as a producer of songwriting demos, so these are demos that songwriters have you do for them, so they can pitch the song to an artist in hopes of getting it recorded and climbing the charts, of course. That must be pretty rewarding, because you're taking the song from, a lot of cases you'll get it, somebody putting on a tape or an MP3 file, but it's just them and a guitar, and you're taking it to that next level. What is that feeling like of working with them to build the song to its final potential?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, I love it. I have writers who've gotten their first publishing deals based on demos that we've made, and, you know, writers who've just come so far getting their first cuts and stuff, you know, based on the knowledge that they've gotten with us working together. And it's just, sometimes it's a, you know, I'm always exploring the song. So if we're in the studio, sometimes it's as simple as saying, you know, this word says the same thing, but the vowel is going to be so much nicer for the vocalist to deliver the emotion of. What do you think about this? And it's always their call, but I'm always making suggestions through the whole process, you know. Sometimes it's a matter of, hey, if we started the chorus on this melodic note instead of that one, it really makes the audience feel something or react differently.
Right.
So we're always just exploring how we can milk the most emotion, whatever the emotion is, happy, sad, danceable, whatever it is. You know, they need to react to it.
So it sounds like you work together with the songwriter rather than just complete it and send it on to them. You work with them through the steps of the demo.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. The first, when I get the song, the first thing I do is listen to it and come up with arrangement, instrumentation ideas, production ideas, who would be a good cast to do the vocal on it, what pitch market we should aim it for, that I think they can get the biggest bang for their buck, you know. And then I call them and discuss all these and listen to their ideas and kind of ask them some questions that, you know, promote some ideas. And we talk about it and we kind of discover and explore and create this demo together.
Now, as far as choosing the demo singer, I've heard, I was at an NSAI event one of the songwriters there was saying, sometimes it's good to be specific with a vocalist. So in other words, they might sound like Miranda Lambert, so you're getting a good shot at that kind of pitch. But then if it doesn't work, you've made it too specific. So sometimes it's good to have a voice that doesn't get pigeonholed too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to know, who you envision singing your song, and then I want to cast a vocalist who can, and even instrumentally, even with how we produce and arrange it, I want to cast that such that we can send it in that direction enough that artist can absolutely see themselves in that song, but also that we don't alienate another pitch market. So my goal is to give it enough of that flavoring that they go, wow, yeah, I could really sell it. My audience would get that, and I can sell it to them. But also that, 5 or 6 or 10 other artists could listen to it and go, wow, that's a message I want to sing, and I could also do that.
Great, right. I'll let people know at this point, our listeners, they can head to kimcopelandproductions.com, and that's where they can learn more about you as well, read up on you. And what I love there as well, you can hear the before and after demo, so you can click on a button there and listen to the songwriter's version of the song, sometimes just a guitar, sometimes a cappella. Then you can also then you hear the finished version of that. So it's great to have them side by side like that, Kim.
Yeah, that I've gotten great response to that, and I'm so behind updating those, and I've got another batch picked out that shows some other flavors, some kind of bluegrass and rock and more pop stuff, to show a wider variety. I had no idea it was going to catch on as well as it did, but seriously, people love that, and they're always talking to me about it when I speak to them about their demos. So absolutely, yeah. I think that's a great thing, because a lot of times you don't know what you're asking for, you don't know what you want, and if you can hear it and go, wow, I really like the feel of that. It helps me. I want to give you what you want. I want to give you the best thing for your song and you. So the more information you give me, the more I can help you.
And let's say the songwriter isn't familiar with the studio, of course, maybe not that much musically inclined to give you specific stuff. Could they say to you, this should have a Diamond Rio sound or a Tim McGraw sound, and you can kind of take it from there and understand what they're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, like I said, when we talk in the beginning, that's exactly why I ask as many questions as I do, because that's the type of information that I want to get from them. I want to try and narrow it down, to what you're feeling. And, if you can't be at the session, that's okay. We will talk so extensively about it that I'm going to be pretty sure to get very close to what you want. But you're always encouraged to be at the session if you want to as well, because sometimes just being a fly on the wall, you're going to just hear the chatter between the musicians and figure out why I make the decisions that I make and why I make the suggestions to you that I do and how I work with the vocalist to get the best performance. And you're going to become a better writer. You just can't help it. Just through osmosis of being in the room, you're going to pick up new tricks.
For sure, exactly. Now, I want to come back in a moment. We're going to get into the role of a producer for artists, and I was fascinated at your site how I knew a bit about producing, but as far as from the outside, but just the fact that you also take into account writing bios, photo shoots, websites. I mean, you sort of can package an artist, and we're going to get into that, but let's start with one of the artists you've been working with who we had on a previous show, Drake Jensen, and this great song called Wash Me Away. Kim, can you reflect on working with Drake and this song specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. When Drake came to me, he had done some things before, but I don't think he had really discovered who he was as an artist and the root of his talent and the direction that he wanted to go. So we spent a long time just talking about what is your artist image, because I want your vocal image to match your visual image and all of that to point you down the road that you would like to be going down as an artist. So we spent some time just getting to know each other and pick a direction for his music. And once we started the song search, we listened, well over 100 songs, maybe 200, I don't know, a lot. And we knew what we were looking for because we had a whole visual for the project, and we needed to fill this slot and that slot and sell the audience on this aspect of his artist presentation and this aspect of his talent. And we just wanted to showcase, the broad spectrum of his talent. And Wash Me Away, Mark Normal, one of the writers on that, he's a dear friend. He's a hit songwriter. He also wrote, he's had hit number ones by Craig Morgan and just a whole bunch of other, Kenny Chesney and Reba. He's done a lot, and he's a great, great writer. And when he pitched us that song, I didn't know it was his song. It came through, Susan Tucker was helping with the song search, and it came through that. And when I heard it, the harmonies on it and just the emotion and the radio friendliness that it sold me, and I sent it to Drake with a package of songs. And he heard it, and that's the first one that he chose that he called me back and went, I've got to do this. And I had a big smile on my face. I said, let's do it. So
wow.
It was one of the first ones that we recorded it. I think me, Drake, Tim Buffert, I think Rachel may have come in. We did a group harmony thing just on it because we wanted it to sound like a huge – we wanted it to sound like the audience, the anthem song that it is where the audience sings along. And when he does that live
right.
at festivals and stuff – you know you just know, Dave, that the audience is
yep.
going to be calling that song and they're going to be dancing to it and singing that. You can't help but sing that chorus.
That's right.
So we tried to get that feel in the studio by all of us getting in there and singing it too.
What a great touch. Yeah, it's a production touch on that. And I understand also the just got rave reviews by a reviewer out there, this single.
Oh, yeah, Robert K. Orman of Music Row magazine.
Yeah,
yeah, it's amazing. We couldn't have written a better one ourselves. And he's like the, you know, the god of country music and reviews. If you get his touch, I don't know if you read some of the others on that day, but if you get his touch on a song, it's pretty well classic.
Yeah, he's a great music journalist, and
yeah.
I've read his stuff and seen him on TNN back in the day doing all kinds of stuff. Now, Drake,
oh, yeah.
of course, is...
We were so
yeah,
Drake, excited to get his blessing on it.
Definitely. Drake is a Canadian as well from the Nova Scotia area, and so you work with Canadians as well as Americans?
I do. I actually have songwriter clients in Denmark and several clients from the U.K., and... yeah, you have a really cool folk artist up there in Canada. I can't think right now exactly where he is, but his name is Paul McIntosh, and he writes songs about farming because that's what he does. He's an amazing
yeah.
songwriter, but he's just a storyteller, you know, and I've been working with him. We've done like 3 albums together, and I just love it. Y'all have so many talented people up there, and yeah, I love Canadians. I do, and just lately
awesome.
It seems like I've been getting a lot of clients from the UK, and I'm loving that too.
That's terrific. Great. Let's share the song now, Kim, from Drake, and then we'll come back and we'll carry on with a lot more stuff.
Great.
This is Drake Jensen and his single that's currently out at radio now called Wash Me Away here on In the Country.
Button I got, but hey, that's alright. And I don't know who you are or who I am. Oh, but maybe you could save me. My heart's been like a desert, just a dry, parched piece of land. But your love is the ocean to this soul grain of sand. One day old, I bet you and God were sitting up there and crying about the Civil War, trying to give all those people some hope at the end of their rope. And I don't know why there's winners and why there's losers, but you sure have got a mighty good heart. My heart's been like a desert, just a dry, parched piece of land. Love is the ocean to this soul grain of sand.
And there's Drake Jensen. That is his current single at radio called Wash Me Away, produced by our guest, Kim Copeland. Great job on the song there. And it must have been, as you said, great working with Drake and seeing the success he's having at the moment.
He's amazing. He's become a dear friend, too, through this project. I love him to death. I'm so excited about everything he has going on. We had so much fun doing this project.
Yeah, such a great guy, great singer, and terrific artist. No great things are going to happen for him, of course. I wanted to ask you, Kim, when is a singer-songwriter ready to go into the studio? If they're out there thinking they've got a few songs or they've even got 10 songs, when are they right to begin that process of starting an album?
Well, as a singer-songwriter, I think if they're doing an album, it's such a personal thing. But to me, when singer-songwriters come to me and they want to do a 10-song project, then I want to make sure we get double use out of that. We just get the most bang for our buck. So my question to them is, are you going to want to pitch them to any other artists? If you are, then let's definitely gear the track such that we really showcase your artistry, but we also allow you a big pitch market for them. So you can sell it as your album project, but you can also be pitching it to other artists if that's what you want to do. If it's not, and your goal is really to just be the artist who does your own songs, then absolutely we're going to fine-tune it for you. But a good time to do it is, number one, if you're ready to pitch them like we just talked about, and also, by the way, want to sell them and start getting your name out there as an artist, that's a good time to. The second thing is, if you're gigging at all, if you have shows, and I tell this to every young artist, I've always said it, but it's more true than ever nowadays since major labels are kind of in a restructuring situation. It's such a great time to be an indie label because we have this great global marketing, and I could go on about that for days, and I won't. But anyway, you need a product if you're out there doing shows. Anytime you do a show and you don't send your audience home with product, you're missing an opportunity to increase your fan base. You're missing an opportunity to put a little cash in your pocket to fund more recording, and you're missing an opportunity to use that to get more bookings. So I think, you know, no matter what you can afford to do, no matter if you can only do a few instruments, a few songs, whatever, if you're performing at all, you need something to put in their hands to send them home with. And like I said, you put it in your pitch packages as well. You use it to pitch yourself to labels. You use it to pitch yourself to clubs and festivals for playing gigs there. And you use it to pitch your songs to other artists. I mean, if you've got the songs, and that's the first step. Do you really have the songs and talent? So I don't work with anybody that I don't meet with and get to know their music and, you know, that I can give them the best advice I can as to what they need to do.
Now, let's say someone approaches you and wants to work on that album, but they either haven't written the songs yet or maybe that's not even their strong suit. You'll help them find the right songs for their voice? Kim, I can't hear you. I'm not sure if you can hear me, but at the moment I can't hear you. If you could try calling back in, I'm not even sure if you can hear me to do that, but maybe there's just something wrong with the line, but at the moment it's kind of gone silent on me. We're going to talk about how you sort of guide an artist and help them create that image that will make them successful, from bios to websites to song selection, as we just touched on, and all that great stuff. And we've got a couple more songs to play on the show from artists that Kim is working with, Rachel Williams, as well as Annalise Wally. We'll just try that line again. And Kim, again, I apologize if you're actually talking and other people can hear you, because I can't actually hear you at the moment. And I'll just have Kim give us a call back in again, speaking with Nashville producer Kim Copeland, live radio. These things happen, but we'll have her back on the air in just a few moments. In the meantime, we're going to play a song from an artist that she is producing as well, a great singer-songwriter named Rachel Williams. So while we're waiting for Kim to give us a call back and get her on the line, let's hear from Rachel Williams and the song What If We Do here on In the Country.
Chances are in this big, big world, we weren't made for each other. We shouldn't see where this goes. But what if we do? What if we give it a try? Even though in the back of our minds, we won't forget all the heartaches we've been through. But what if we do? And against all odds, we set each other free. I ain't saying you'll fight forever in me, or that I'll fight forever in you. Oh, but what if we do? It'd be safer to kiss your cheek and let it end right here. Convince ourselves it was nothing more than a sweet conversation we shared, and go to sleep in our own bed. We won't have regrets. But what if we do? What if we give it a try? Even though in the back of our minds, we won't forget all the heartaches we've been through. But what if we do? And against all odds, we set each other free. I ain't saying you'll fight forever in me, or that I'll fight forever.
And that is Rachel Williams, another great artist that our guest Kim Copeland produces. The song is What If We Do, and we have Kim back on the line.
Hello.
Hey there, Kim. I think something cut out earlier. I think it was your phone,
I guess. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I can hear you.
Yes. I couldn't hear you on the air. I'm not sure if our listeners could. Sometimes that happens, too. But it was just a technical difficulty. But I can hear you now, and you can hear me. And we just heard Rachel... We just heard Rachel Williams there. I love that song, What If We Do. First, can you tell us, we'll get back to the producing in general, but working with Rachel and the songwriters on that, because it's a great song.
Oh, thank you. Rachel is just, I can't even say enough about her talent. That girl can sing anything. She's from Detroit, and she does country music as if she's a native Texan or Tennessean, but she does Motown. Her new project that we're working on is much more Motown, kind of pop rock bass, but she can do anything, and that's kind of a blessing and a curse. But this song she wrote with Paul Sykes, and the first time they played it for me, I just absolutely loved it, and I said, y'all have to do that, and it has to be a duet. And so we demoed it both ways as a duet and a solo, and it fits her better as a songwriter than an artist for where she was going as an artist. But once she sang it, she was just like, I love it, it's got to be there.
Yeah, it's a very pretty song.
Of the songwriter writing the song that ended up, you know, she didn't write it for herself, but it ended up becoming hers.
Yeah, and it's something she could pitch further, couldn't she, to an artist? Because I could definitely hear that any number of.
Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah. So there's Rachel, and of course we talked about Drake before. Now, when these artists come to you, as I was mentioning, when people go to KimCopelandProductions.com, they'll find out that the role of a producer, not only just producing the album, but sort of the whole package. You're involved in bios, photo shoots, helping them out with that, websites, song selection. So you really can take that beginner artist, if you want to call it that, and get them up and running.
Yeah, well, like we talked about, Dave, you know, my passion is really somewhat in education and mentoring as well. So I had so many people coming to me wanting to record, but then not knowing what to do with it, or even really how to approach the process. So I don't really do the packaging in that. I participate in that. I oversee it. I will send them to three different photographers and say, if one of them resonates with you, choose them. I know these are respectable people. I'm not making any money on this. I just want to make sure you're hooking up with the right people. I will hook you up with people who will write your bio. I'll tell you myself. I'll coach you on what a package needs to look like based on what you need where you need it to take you. So, yeah, then I help you put all the pieces of that together because it's so frustrating to record something. There's such a big difference in recording somebody and producing somebody. With producing them, you're really getting involved with the songs and the person and trying to develop a career. You're not just capturing on tape what they do. You're trying to help them expand what they do and discover what's unique about them as an artist. So it's way more in-depth, but you're right. I do help people put the entire package together to help get them down the road.
And it must be great for you, as you were mentioning there, to when the client approaches you, maybe you're going to find something more in them than they realize. They might have a good idea of what they are as an artist, but you might be able to give them a little more insight.
Oh, I hope so. If I can't, if there's not something that I can contribute to the project, I don't take it. For me, that's what makes it fun for me, is knowing that, like I said, that they have more tools, that they have, you know, ventured into a new part of their talent that they didn't have before. So if I don't feel like I can really enhance what they're doing and take them in a new direction or add new toys to the toy box, then I don't get involved in it. Drake may kill me for saying this, but the song you just listened to, Wash Me Away, if you listen on the outro when we're all doing the vamp vocal stuff and he does the last real high one, he didn't think he could do that. That was my idea, and he was a little hesitant about it. And after it was finished, he loved it. I loved it. The song loved it. That's the main thing. The song loved it, and he so could do it. You know, but it's not something he would have probably ventured into on his own. So I'm always going to push you out of your comfort zone a little bit, and we can always pull back if it's too much. But you know, like I said, my passion is exploring with you.
Yeah, it's good for a singer to stretch a bit and maybe do something they didn't think they could. And like you said, if they don't feel comfortable, they don't have to. But you never know until you try.
Yeah.
Now, you've got some of the best musicians around Nashville that come to your studio to put these albums and the demos together.
I do. I could not be happier, and I just wake up every day and smile going to work. You know, I'm so blessed to get to do something I love every day and get to hang with such great people. You know, Grammy-winning musicians, and again, it's such a big playground. You know, I just kind of pick and choose. I custom cast every session. I don't have just one group of guys that I constantly use. I've probably got 40 musicians that I choose from, and sometimes people will go, oh, well, I know this guy and I know that guy, but I've never seen them in the studio together. And there's a reason that they're in the studio together that day, because it's going to change the energy. You know, maybe somebody hadn't played with this guy and they're going to want to show off a little bit more. Maybe somebody, you know, I'm always mixing and matching and just casting what I think is going to bring the energy to that project.
That's great. And I'll just let our listeners know, too, if they want to get in touch with you to find out more about any of this, they can send an email to info@kimcopelandproductions.com. And part of being an artist and a producer, I guess a lot of this is being fearless. And I guess you can relate to that, because I loved reading the story about probably easy for me to read it, hard for you to do at the time, when you were at the Bluebird Cafe and you announced to everybody that you had quit your day job and you were pursuing music.
Yeah, I love it. Those of you who don't know the Bluebird Cafe, it's a historic place in Nashville, and it's, you know, it's a big thing to get to play there, even though it's just this little bitty place. It just has such historic value and such prestige. And yeah, I mean, I worked at Vanderbilt University the first 5 years I was in town. You know, just trying to kind of dip my toe in the water and figure out where my place was in this industry. And at some point you got to dive in and swim, or drown, or sink, or get out of the pool and realize you don't need to be in there. But yeah, but the Bluebird, their motto, and they have T-shirts with this on there and everything. Their motto is shh.
Right. So just be quiet and listen. I think we actually, on that note, when she, with the whisper, did we lose you again, Kim? You might be able to hear me. Unfortunately, I can't hear you again. I'm not sure if it's the switchboard here, if our listeners can hear you, but I know I can't. So we'll just try to clear the line. I'll just have you call back, and we'll get back into things. So we'll hear from Kim in just a moment. We've got another song coming up from a young artist called Annalise Wally with a great voice, a song called Don't Let It Rain. And we're going to hear the story behind that and the production of it. Again, a lovely young artist with a great voice, and Kim will tell us a bit more about that. I'm also going to be asking Kim, before our time's up, about the art and science of sound recording. This is a great project that she's involved in, and we're going to get her to tell us all about that. But I think we've got Kim back on the line.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, David. I promise I didn't move.
Probably something to do with my switchboard here. I'll have to get my engineer to rewire it or something. But I can hear you now, and you can hear me. We're back in business. Yeah, that's great. So, and I mentioned we've got Annalise Wally coming up in just a bit. And, before we get to that, you were mentioning about the Bluebird Cafe, and they've got a motto there.
Yes, it's a listening room with a lot of prestige and historic significance, and they don't like you talking. And I kind of break all the rules anyway. When I host around there now, there's as much laughing as there is singing. But so I had a Bluebird show that night, one of my first, and I got up on stage, and I'd been at Vanderbilt 5 years, and they called me in to give me a 5-year pin, and I went, really? That's not what I came here to do. So I quit that day, scared to death, not knowing what I was going to do, and played my show at the Bluebird that night and said, well, I'm either really crazy or really excited. I'm not sure which, but I just quit my day gig today. And I got a standing ovation at the Bluebird Cafe, which is unheard of. People don't do that. They didn't applaud my songwriting or my performing, just my commitment to my music. And that was enough to get me going.
And that is definitely something to be applauded, because you do need to be a risk taker to a certain degree, don't you? Like bungee jumping.
You do, but... Yeah, you do, but you got to play to win. And Nashville is such a warm, welcoming place. And, you know, the music industry, for everybody, you know, that talks about how hard it is hard, but knowledge is power. Jump in the game and learn how it's played. And if you have the talent and commitment, there's room for you. I had no idea 20 years ago I'd be a producer. A friend asked me to help on her album. I'd been helping her tweak her songs. And she said, you know, I know, but I don't know how to talk to musicians, and you do. And I don't know where to record. So I ended up, short story, booking the studio, the musicians, singing background vocals on it, being there to communicate with the musicians, arranging the songs, the whole deal. I didn't even know that was producing. I was thrilled to get to participate. And afterwards somebody said, oh, so you produced the album. And I said, really? Cool. Let's do some more of that. And sure enough, her album led to another, and a friend told a friend, and that's how this all started. I had no idea. You just jump in and find your place.
Can you recall any highlights, and I'm sure there are many, in the studio moments where you felt you really nailed it and you captured a bit of magic in the recording?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, on Drake's project, there have been moments on Rachel's projects where I'm crying. I just get goosebumps. She's so emotional. And, you know, she wrote a song. She and I wrote it together. It's one of the first songs we ever wrote. She was about 19, and it's called It's Not About Me Anymore, and it's on Drake's album. The first time we demoed that song, it was the first time as a writer that Rachel had hit that level of emotion, that level of honesty. And when she sang it in the studio, because it meant something to her, we were all just had tears in our eyes. I mean, it was just amazing. You knew it was a magical moment. She's got several moments like that. Annalise Wally, I mean, Annalise, on her album, she does this medley of old tunes, Cole Porter, you know, that genre. And we put together two or three of her favorites from there. This girl's 17 years old. She sings like Patsy Cline. She's amazing. And we put and hearing her sing these standards. And the medley that we put together, none of us had heard it before we went to the studio to record it. And everybody, musicians, engineer, everybody was just sitting there with their jaw dropping at her performance, because she was so into it, too. With Drake, oh, my gosh. You know, he hadn't written that many songs before we got together. And his songs that are on that album, hearing those come to life, I think everybody in the studio was dancing and crying at the same time. It's just the... seeing something grow that way and seeing the emotional level of it grow and touch people, that's why we do what we do.
We're going to be hearing a song from Annalise Wally in just a few moments, a great song from her. But I want to ask you about and have you tell us all about the Alan Parsons involvement with his project, The Art and Science of Sound Recording, a great DVD that gets people, I guess, educated about how songs are recorded and this recording studios work.
Yeah, I am so thrilled and honored to be a part of that project. They came to me a couple of years ago and asked to interview me for it, and I didn't have the whole concept for what the whole thing was going to be about then. And I think they came to me, number one, because there are very few female producers, and number two, because there are very few producers who are not only musical producers and musicians, but also vocal producers. And there's not a lot of people in the business, I think, who really specialize in both of those two features. And so when they came to me to interview me, their questions were wonderful, and I enjoyed it, and I did the interview, and then I kind of put it on the back burner and went on with life and forgot about it. And so when this came out and they started calling, and they sent me my copy, and I'm so excited. I haven't gotten it yet. When I get back home, hopefully it'll be there to see. But it's just such a wonderful, because they cover the whole gamut of recording from the technical side to the creative side. And like I say, I'm just happy to have contributed and to have been invited to participate in it.
And I'll encourage our listeners to head to the website where they can see clips from it and find out all about it, artandscienceofsound.com. And again, Alan Parsons involved with it, and all these great producers and different artists and stuff talking about this. It is a real art, isn't it, and science to recording, right? There's just so many different things you got to do to get it just right.
Absolutely. You know, I've been trying to do some more articles and YouTube videos and just kind of reach out to people a little bit more. I'm on my Facebook. You can find me at Kim Colton Productions on Facebook. But one of the things that I've talked about in a recent video, I don't know if we have it up yet, is exactly that. You have to put a team around you, and you have to trust the engineer to do what he's supposed to do and worry about the technical aspects of what the sound that you're trying to get. You have to focus on delivering the emotion, because that's your job. You have to trust the producer to put the right microphone in front of you and to arrange the songs properly. It's a team. It takes a team to bring a great project together. Rachel and I have a little saying that we've used for a long time and laugh about it. It takes a village to raise an artist. You know, and it does. And it takes a village to raise a great project too. So this Alan Parsons thing just covers the whole gamut, like I say, from beginning to end, from the technical side. If you're interested in engineering, if you're interested in vocals, in musicianship and recording equipment and techniques, it covers everything. And nobody has really delved this deeply into the whole, well, what it's called, art and science of recording. It's just amazing. So, I just can't say enough how honored I am to be a part of it.
That's really cool. Again, it's artandscienceofsound.com is the website. You can find out more about that. Now, of course, Kim, when you're in the studio, you do a lot of preparation and before you work on the songs. But are there things that can happen spontaneously that maybe one of the musicians comes up with a riff or something happens that really captures some magic that you weren't expecting sort of at the last minute almost?
Every time. I've owned home studios. I've done it where I've layered everything myself and played everything, and I recorded all different ways for demos and projects. But what I've been doing the past 10 years or so, and this is the only way I record now, I cast the musicians, I cast a great party, and then everybody's in the room at the same time and everybody participates. So what you'll see happen is I'll get with the songwriter or artist ahead of time. We'll work out. We'll have all the vocal delivery worked out. We'll have the song arrangement worked out and the instrumentation figured out what we think we want. Then I bring the musicians in, and then on the day of recording, me and the artist or songwriter and the musicians all stand around and listen to the rough recording of the song at the same time together, looking at the chart that I've written for it. And I go around and give them my ideas for each guy, what I want them doing. And I tell them an attitude for it. Then I let the songwriter or artist give their thoughts on it. And when they go to their chairs, the first time we play through, it's going to sound terrible because I encourage everybody to explore. So we're not trying to get together as a cohesive unit. Everybody's just trying to feel it and to get the vibe of the song. And then you'll hear the fiddle player talk to the guitar player going, oh, what was that thing you were doing over there when you were just noodling around? That's great. Now, what if I jump on the back half of it? And I'll hear the keyboard guy do something, and I'll say, oh, man, let's do four down four. Drums lay out the first four bars. Let's just have the bass and keyboards doing what they're doing. So it really is a creative process. And it never, you know, I'm never rigid with people having to follow exactly the what I give them. I want everybody participating, and I don't work with people who don't want to participate. You know, it's just a creative process.
Yeah. That's great.
That's what makes it fun for me, and that's what makes it fun for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a great team around you, but you've also, you let them participate. You've got to direct it, but you let them start off with suggestions they might have.
Absolutely. I want everybody to enjoy the process because I think the end product shows that. I can
right.
listen. I go to taxi every year, and I'm listening to songs, and I'll listen to, you know, I don't know, 200 songs, 300 songs. It's just nonstop, you know. And I'll be listening, and I'll go, okay, your engineer was a drummer, and you're pitching to a vocalist. Tell me how you're going to work that out, you know, because all I'm hearing is drums right now. And they'll go, wow, how'd you know that? So then we talk about the mixing aspect of things, you know, or it's just there's all these little things that I can hear at the end in the end product. Whether or not the musicians wanted to be there, whether or not who was driving the train, and whether or not anybody was driving the train. You know?
Right.
I think that shows in the end product.
So I guess you've heard a few train wrecks in your time.
I probably created a few too, but hey, that's part of it. Thanks, Beard.
Oh, that's great. Let's turn now to Annalise Wally. We don't want to keep people in suspense too much longer. We've talked about her. 17 years old. What else can you tell us about her and also the song Don't Let It Rain, which we're about to play?
She's an amazing songwriter. She wrote this song by herself. She's just an amazing songwriter and singer, 17 years old. This is her first project. I don't know where she'll go from here. She's still in high school, so I'm not sure exactly what all her goals are, but she's been doing some great stuff. She's getting some gigs around town and kind of putting her band together and getting started performing. But just keep in mind that she was 16 when she wrote this song
amazing.
And performed it. So go with that. You'll be amazed.
Awesome. Let's hear it now. Produced by Kim Copeland. This is Don't Let It Rain, and the singer is Annalise Wally here on In the Country.
Through their battered heart of mine.
Annalise Wally and Don't Let It Rain, the song produced by our guest, Kim Copeland. You can head to kimcopelandproductions.com, and you can find ways to contact her there and also hear samples of demos she's done and all kinds of great information. Another great artist there. Hard to believe at 16 years old she wrote and sang that song. Huh, beautiful.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, she sure does, and I'll encourage our listeners, too, to check out these artists online. Drake Jensen, Rachel Williams, and Annalise Wally is A-N-N-E-L-I-S-E, last name W-A-L-L-E-Y, first two names probably easier to spell, so just check those out online and listen to more of their music. And Kim, I wanted to touch on as well the songwriter's connection with Susan Tucker.
Yeah, I sponsor that. Susan's been doing that free e-zine for years, and you know, I write articles on it and just kind of sponsor it because it's such a wonderful free tool for artists and songwriters, and just, you know, it kind of gives you some insight into the music business, and she's kind of branched out now, and we have people writing articles on everything from guitar techniques to pitching, you know, song pluggers, publishers, just it covers, you know, the whole realm of the songwriting and artist industry, and just a really great free resource.
Yeah, it's great. Songwritersconnection.com. You can sign up for an email to give you updates, the weekly email that comes out. And also, she's written some great books, The Soul of a Writer and The Secrets of Songwriting. That one, the last one I just mentioned, I've read that in the past couple of years and just loved it.
You know, her books are such a unique concept because everybody gives you their opinion of how to do things, but what I love about Susan's books is that it's not just her words. She's actually interviewed these amazing songwriters in all genres and let them tell their story. So it seems like no matter what your style of writing is or what your goals are, you can find yourself in the book. You know, you go, oh, that's who I am. I should do what he did, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's always great to read examples.
More than one path for
exactly, yeah, read examples of other people, and, I mean, your path won't be the same as everybody, but you just need to find one other path that could be like yours, and you're on your way. Kim, I wanted to ask you, we're in our remaining 5 minutes here, about is there any artist out there, even in a dream kind of situation, that you would love to work with, like a, even at the top of their game or somebody starting out? Is there somebody you'd like to produce in the studio?
Wow, I hear people all the time that you know, because I'm always out at shows and writers' nights and stuff, and there's just so much talent. I mean, every day there's a new carload of amazing artists who hits the streets in Nashville, and there's so much talent that just goes, you know, unnoticed because they just don't have the commitment or the money or the time or whatever, you know, to get their 15 minutes yet. But, you know, if you're talking about people at the top of their game or who've done it, I absolutely love Miranda Lambert, of course, being from Texas, and love her style, love Trisha Yearwood. To me, in my opinion, Trisha Yearwood is the best pure country vocalist, you know, that ever, I mean, that we've seen in many, many years. I mean, maybe Patsy Cline back in that day, but.
Yeah, Trisha's voice, one of her songs, The Song Remembers When, is such a beautiful, moving song. And I think we've lost you again, Kim, but I know you'll call right back, and we'll get you back on the line. But, yeah, Trisha Yearwood and then Miranda Lambert, two different styles, but great, great vocalists. And, again, some of the artists we played on the show today, Drake Jensen, Rachel Williams, and Annalise Wally, to be specific, all three of them with their great songs produced by Kim Copeland. And again, I'll give that website out because I know there's artists listening who are either singer-songwriters or artists or somebody looking for demos, and it's kimcopelandproductions.com, and she can set you up and help you out on your way. Kim, back on the line, at the Bluebird Cafe, have you had a chance to sort of hear some songs as they were just coming out? Maybe the songwriter was singing them and you said, that's a hit, and then do you recall becoming a smash hit or significant after that?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. Rachel and I did a round with Bruce Wallace about 2 weeks ago, and he played us a new song that Trace Adkins had just cut. And then maybe it's 3 weeks ago, and I heard it on the radio just a couple of days ago. Huh. And Rachel and I were in the studio together, and we were going out for lunch, and we heard it on the radio and went, hey, cool, ka-ching for Bruce, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I have so many songwriter friends, you know, and some who struggle for a long time and are just now getting their day, and, you know, some songs have been kicking around for a long time. So, yeah, I love it. I have tons of songwriter friends who I've heard them do their stuff before. You know, and then, of course, there's the story in Susan's first book about Garth and how loyal he is to Pat Alger and Tony Arata, and how you heard the dance and at a writer's night at the Bluebird with Tony doing it, and said, I'm going to record that song someday. And it took him like 4 years to get his deal and be making his album. But he went back to Tony and got the song, and it was a huge hit for him. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it happens. People who are true song people, you know, we remember songs. And that's great. I mean, that's what we're passionate about.
That's awesome. Well, it's great to have heard your passion on the show today, Kim, with producing and songwriting and the great artists that you work with. And it's been such a great time chatting with you again, and appreciate your time and all your knowledge on the subject.
Well, thank you, Dave. I've really enjoyed it, and I just want to say I appreciate all you do. You have a great show, and, you know, just bringing the music community together and offering this advice to people and kind of bringing people together is wonderful. Thank you very much.
That means a lot to me, and we'll do this again in the future, Kim, and we'll cover some more territory and some other artists you're working with. And all the best. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Come to Nashville and see me sometime. You're always welcome in the studio, whatever I'm doing.
Awesome. I look forward to that. Put that on my calendar.
Okay.
My guest today has been Nashville producer Kim Copeland. Once again, the website is kimcopelandproductions.com. My name is Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.